The Federal Salary Council votes to add 13 cities to a list of communities where federal employees are paid more. The council is aiming to close a growing gap between federal employees and their private counterparts in certain regions of the country. But the administration has frozen locality pay until at least 2016. Joining me with more, Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what did the Salary Council recommend here?
Well, the Salary Council repeated its recommendation. First of all, it says it's on the side of saying that feds are underpaid. And there is some debate about that in the larger public. But they're just looking at salaries. They're not looking at benefits or other sorts of pluses that come with federal employment. And looking at salaries, they say feds overall are underpaid, but especially in certain areas where you get locality pay. 12 areas, they say, should get more pay because they are expensive areas and feds are extremely underpaid compared to people doing comparable jobs in the private sector. These 12 are ones that they have been repeatedly saying should get locality pay. And in addition, they added one more on Friday, and that was Kansas City. That was a new call for locality pay in Kansas City, Missouri.
So looking at the list of cities, I guess intuitively it's hard to see how those are high-cost areas that should get a differential, like Davenport, Iowa, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Texas, I can understand.
Right, but it's not necessarily, I think, the high cost of living. And, in fact, they're not supposed to take cost of living into account, but they're using Bureau of Labor Statistics surveys, and they're really looking at what people are being paid. So not the cost of living, such as like expensive housing or whatever, but what would, say, a lawyer with X amount of experience doing X amount of type of law in the private sector make versus a government lawyer working for DOJ?
So government lawyers in Davenport, Iowa make less than other lawyers doing similar work in Davenport, Iowa, in other words.
Exactly. And it might be something that's very specific to the area. One area that they were looking at and isn't there is the Bakken oil fields in North Dakota. And we know that that area has had a lot of ups and downs in terms of its economy as the oil boom goes. And people are being paid astronomical amounts. Can't even get that much probably if you were to deliver pizza here as you could to deliver pizza there.
Okay, so these recommendations, so they reiterated their recommendations for 12 cities, added a new one, and then there was a reaction from the president's pay agent, which is actually three people, correct?
Yeah, actually no reaction yet to these things. Now, I can tell you this, that earlier this year, the president's pay agent tentatively accepted the recommendations for the older 12, all but Kansas City, but that was tentative. And they did so because President Barack Obama has the right as president to say, we're going to do something completely different. And he did that this year. He said that we are going to freeze locality pay until 2016. So the president's pay agent, that's the leader of the Labor Department, the Office of Personnel Management, the Office of Management and Budget, together, they've just kind of waited. They're not going to, even as they say they've tentatively accepted the recommendations for those 12 cities, they have no signs of releasing any sort of implementing regulations anytime soon. That's caused a lot of people to be pretty upset because usually the president's pay agent went along with what the Federal Salary Council recommended, and it hasn't been the case in the past couple of years.
And do the recommendations include specific differential dollar amounts that people should get in different job classifications?
I believe so. But I believe that it is set so that locality pay is pretty much graded if the president votes for an increase or if there is an increase in a year, then all the localities' pays will rise in that year. And the problem is that the president has said it's going to be frozen until January 2016.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp. Okay, so the pay agents have sort of gone along, and the council keeps making the recommendation, and they're up against the freeze anyhow, which would override anything. So what are the unions saying about this?
Well, the unions are part of this Federal Salary Council. It is called the Federal Salary Council. It's an official advisory board. It's made up of leaders of AFGE and NTEU, the biggest unions, as well as a few others, and some outside experts, academics in pay and compensation. So no surprise that these unions are saying do what we've recommended year after year. And this is something where, you know, pay itself was frozen for several years, and that's no longer the case. Feds this year got a 1% pay raise. And so what AFG President J. David Cox told me was that we were under the impression that once that pay freeze was lifted, we would be able to, at least to have these regulations on the 12 cities that we've recommended for locality pay, but we don't see those recommendations now, those regulations rather now. Where are they? And I think that's the general feeling. They know that they've got to move slow because there are optics, there's politics involved. This is, you know, all added up. It's a lot of money when you're talking about federal salaries. And there is also some debate about benefits and how that should be calculated when you're talking about a pay gap between the private sector and the public sector. That said, the unions are saying, you know, we expected this to happen earlier this year. We're still waiting. And some say, you know, we've got a bad feeling that this recommendation is just going to sit there and the Obama administration isn't going to do anything.
And this all comes amidst a backdrop of a new report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics kind of confirming that pay differential between public and private sectors.
Well, exactly. They take Bureau of Labor Statistics data.
And what do they say now?
Well, the Bureau of Labor Statistics data actually came up with something that was roughly the same last year. They say that the pay disparity is just over 35%, 35.18%, and that's pretty much in line with what they said last year.
And so even if the locality pay recommendations and regulations came into effect, it's unlikely anybody's going to get a 35% pay
exactly.
raise.
Exactly. Well, and that 35% is nationwide, right? So it's greater in some areas, San Francisco being the big one that they say feds are really underpaid, and it's lower in some other areas.
Okay, so Emily Kopp's story you can read now at federalnewsradio.com. What you have coming up next in the next couple of days, what are you looking at?
We'll be working on some bigger, long-term stories having to do with a couple of different things. One is how the government is getting innovation or expertise from places like Silicon Valley and how that's being infused in the government at large or whether it's just being used in certain areas. And another one is looking at the senior executive service and some movement on changes there or lack of movement on changes there.
That is an interesting topic because we know that the administration sent Todd Park, the former chief technology officer, back out to Silicon Valley to try to be kind of a remote or West Coast recruitment arm. And I guess we don't know yet whether, in general, Silicon Valley looks at Washington and says, why the heck would I want to work there? Or maybe they say, maybe I can go there and blow the place up, so to speak.
Right. Well, and the opposite has been happening in that federal employees working in, say, cybersecurity out in Silicon Valley for agencies that are based there, like NASA is based right next to Google, those employees are the government's having a hard time retaining them because they're being paid less. And then when you have things like the furloughs where they weren't paid at all for a while, you know, a good cybersecurity person can go over to Google and be paid tenfold.
Of course, on the other hand, some of the startup companies, most of them end up not making it. So there's a lot of mobility in general in Silicon Valley, I think, in terms of employment. But there is a long history there of public and private work together on certain issues. I remember it wasn't a federal issue. I think federals actually were involved, but mainly state and local law enforcement, county law enforcement, got together with the chip industry and devised strategies to prevent the theft out of loading docks and warehouses of valuable microchips. So there is some history of government and the industry there working together for whatever local problems might be happening.
Right. Well, and to date, what has happened is more likely that there is an exchange, or at least people from the private sector, from Silicon Valley, and similar companies spread throughout the nation, are coming to the government for a short period of time, working for the government, and then leaving, and not coming permanently. But things are starting to change now.
Well, one thing Silicon Valley execs will find, or managers if they come to Washington to work, they will not have any difference in the level of traffic jams.
Okay.
So that might be something. It'll feel just like home in terms of the traffic.
All right.
Well, we'll look forward to those stories. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.